friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the conquering Lamb of Revelation, and this is day 17, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Revelation 17 treats the fall of the great prostitute. Revelation 18 consists of a lament over the fall of Babylon, a symbol for the world system that stands opposed to God and His Christ. Revelation 19 begins with praise, the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! God is being exalted for His just and true judgment against the corruption and immorality of the world system now utterly fallen. Then another cry goes up. I'm reading from Revelation 19, 6 through 7. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. God has judged the nations. The Lamb has conquered, and now it is time to celebrate. A great multitude in heaven, whom we've seen before, are shouting glory and praises. It is so loud that John compares it to the roar of many waters. If you've ever been near a great waterfall or a river crashing over rapids at breakneck speed after the spring thaw, or on a Pacific Ocean beach with the breakers crashing, then you know what John is talking about. Many teams don't like to play games held in the Seattle Seahawks football stadium because the fans are notoriously loud. The center can't even hear the quarterback's calls. Loud, deafening. And then mighty peals of thunder. If thunder is many miles away, you can hear it rumbling across the land. But if lightning occurs within a short distance, the thunder clap is instantaneous and deafening. The multitude is so excited that their cries of praise and glory are booming out through the heaven and resounding on the earth. Here's what they're shouting out. Hallelujah! For the Lord, our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. Now we see the focus of this praise and celebration. Verse 8, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. The analogy that God's people are His bride goes far back into the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah 54:5, your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is His name. Hosea 2:19-20, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Paul develops this theme in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11:2, I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25-27, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. But this theme of the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb, is developed even further in the book of Revelation. I'm reading from Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:9. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Jewish weddings were a big celebration, lasting 7 days if the family were wealthy enough. Jesus' miracle at the wedding celebration in Cana guaranteed that the celebration didn't have to end because they ran out of wine. And the marriage of the firstborn son of the king is a very big deal. In a typical Jewish wedding, the bride and her party would come from her parental home to her husband's home, to the sounds of music and the distributions of oil and wine and nuts. Everyone would rise to salute the bride and comment on her beauty. Arriving at her husband's home, she is led to her husband and legal documents are signed. And then, after the prescribed washing of hands and prayer, the marriage supper begins. The cup is filled, and the solemn prayer of bridal benediction spoken over it, and then the feast begins, lasting far into the night, perhaps for a number of days. Finally, the oppression of the Antichrist and false prophet, the wars and judgments, the blasphemies and curses of the fallen world, and the defeat of Satan's forces. It is time for the king's son to marry. Revelation 19:8-9. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Christ is still titled the Lamb, to recognize that through his sacrifice he has redeemed all humankind. All eyes are on the bride, wearing a beautiful white dress that speaks of her purity and holiness. Several phrases round out the description. The bride is prepared. You probably know from experience all the ways a bride prepares for the wedding, how carefully the wedding dress is chosen, the headdress, the flowers in her bouquet, and everything. So it is with the bride of Christ. The bride is allowed to dress in white. I find it interesting that the wording is, it was granted her. On her own, she didn't deserve to dress in white. Her filthiness, our filthiness, is as filthy rags, Isaiah says. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, Isaiah 64:6. Paul says, Ephesians 2:3, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The bride doesn't deserve to be dressed in white. It is granted to her by grace, amazing, unlimited, costly grace, paid for by the selfless sacrifice of the Lamb. The linen dress she wears is fine linen, bright and pure. Then the bride does righteous deeds. Righteous deeds don't save us, but they are an indication that our heart has been changed by God's grace. If no evidence can be found to demonstrate that you are a follower of Christ, perhaps you're not really following, only observing. I'm reading now from Revelation 19:9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. If you strictly interpret the bridegroom analogy, the invitees can't be the bride, all saints. Maybe they're angels. But then again, John often mixes his metaphors. How blessed are we to be so beloved by Christ, that we have been redeemed by him, cleansed, prepared, and wed, united closely and inseparably to the Lamb forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the immense privilege of choosing me to be part of the bride of the Lamb. This honor is undeserved, but granted freely with joyful and abundant grace. Thank you. May I prepare myself now to be clothed in white on that day, when I am united forever to the Lamb. In Jesus' saving name I pray. Amen. Our Day 17 meditation is from Revelation 19:6-9. If now we are betrothed to the Lamb, to use this analogy, why is the marriage delayed until the end of time? What does the marriage state imply that betrothal does not? In what sense will that be realized in the New Jerusalem? Hey friends, Bride of the Lamb, go forth dressed in white and live for the glory of Jesus. Amen.